Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Reacting to the thought that maybe, in fact, the Giants would still, this was the thought last year, and then Paul Schwartz again on the Post had it. It was, you know, last night, I guess this morning, whatever the news you get this day, but you know, nowadays, but you wake up to the back page of the Post and it's saying split ticket, with the idea of maybe the Giants deciding to keep Joe Shane and moving on from Brian Daboll, which to me would be even the worst disaster, BT, than we would have thought initially if they were to keep them both beyond this year. I still haven't heard somebody make a good argument for Joe Shane. Callers have tried, and I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion. You could have your reasons why you'd want to believe in Joe Shane. I don't know how anybody can watch this team play for the last 4 years and look at the roster and see how guys have regressed, see how guys have been bust, and see how guys would even, the most talent, it still hasn't resulted in good football. So I just don't understand how anybody could make the case, especially for Joe Shane, but really keeping the tandem together.
It's pretty basic stuff. General manager is hired to build a roster. And when you build a roster, you draft guys, and you sign guys, and you cut guys. And does anybody think that this roster is good? I mean, you know, there's a degree of underachievement on the defensive side for sure, but no, I mean, we've gone through this chapter and verse. Some of the wrong money that's been thrown in the wrong direction. And he hasn't whiffed on everything. Nobody's saying that he's failed on everything here. But, I mean, this is now a 4-year snapshot of roster building and trying to will and trying to push this franchise out of the doldrums. And they haven't yet done it. So I'm with you. I'm open to it. This is not a hit piece. This is not us trying to, you know, just get rid of Joe Shane. We want the Giants to do well. It's more fun. It's better. Trust us, guys. I always tell you that. Just like with the Jets, all these teams. But when it's not good, we're going to tell you. And we don't really need to tell you, except those of you who seemingly are still a little locked into Joe Shane doing a better job than you and I perceive him to have done so far.
Well, the Giants might be told here.
I mean,
if they're the ones who were thinking about this.
That's really all that matters. I'm still not fully buying it. Again, it's not to dispel the report. Yeah. I'm not here to, you know, listen, you got sources, you do your thing, whatever, and he's been doing this for a long time. Common sense tells me that unless they are blind, and then there's no way that they can look at this objectively and not feel this as an abject failure on almost every single level. So, I mean, that's where I'm at. That's where I would think that they would be at. That's where most of the fans are at. For those who aren't, that's why the world spins differently, different opinions.
Dan is in Mystic, Connecticut. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Dan. You got it, buddy. What's happening?
Long-time Giants fan, and it's been egregious to watch the team for the last 10 years, and I completely agree with you guys on all accounts about Daboll and Shane have to be gone. What do you guys think the real possibility is? And I've been thinking about this a lot, about Belichick coming to the Giants. I know people throw it out there, and it kind of goes back and forth, but, you know, with the way the team is, and I completely agree that, you know, there's got to be a huge, complete shift in culture, and I've never been a hotshot coordinator kind of fan. I think it's a huge gamble. I definitely want an established coach. And the only two guys I can think of, either Belichick or maybe John Gruden. So thanks for taking my call. I just want to hear your thoughts.
You got it, Danny. Appreciate the call. Those are two names we've thrown out there. You know, listen, it's just apparent. Any documentary, anything on Bill Belichick, his reverence for the Giants organization is as deep as anybody on the planet. I mean, it really, he loves the New York Giants. He reveres them. So I just if he's coming in with the decision-making power, if the Giants were even open to this, which I have no idea if they would be, I would be on some level for sure. I don't like him as a GM. I don't want him making real decisions in terms of the personnel. He has not distinguished himself in that enough in that regard to be that guy. As the coach, it's Bill Belichick. If he wants to come coach, how do you not have a conversation with the guy?
Here's the advice that I would give to Giants fans who say, no, they don't want a part of it. Look at the idiot, loser Atlanta Falcons. That loser, pathetic franchise that has the worst loss in the history of the sport hung on their resume, okay? They chose Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick, who actually wanted the job. Belichick wanted the job. Good owner with Arthur Blank.
He did want the job.
For whatever reason, I don't know the inner workings there, but...
I think he wanted too much power,
okay?
Honestly.
Fair enough. And the Falcons decided, you know what, we're going to go with Raheem Morris. And to me, that was actually the nail in my coffin as a fan. I didn't go nuts. I was like, I can see why they would go Morris here. Like, I get it. Younger guy, new age, football the way that we are. Morris was a guy who had experience before. He was thought to be a good head coach when he first got hired with the Bucs. Like, I could see the potential. They worked his way back up as a coordinator, was familiar with Atlanta, was the interim head coach there for a little bit. I could understand the hire. However, I wanted Belichick because it's Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, coming to your pathetic franchise and going to try to lift them out of the abyss. And I know for certain that they would be a better team had Bill Belichick been running things. Okay, but they didn't do that. So now if you're the Giants and you're saying, well, Belichick wasn't good in New England, which is true at the end, obviously, which is true. Belichick's been a total disaster at North Carolina, also true. Can't dispute that. However, the Giants are at a spot as a franchise to where, for me, if I say I'm trying to eliminate the question marks, there are no question marks for me in the NFL with Bill Belichick. And even if you want to bring some up, there's still fewer question marks with him than there are with literally anybody else. Gruden, Vrabel, bring up all those guys. I'm not saying that certain guys couldn't be better or different with new age stuff. I'm saying that right now, I don't know how you wouldn't say, I'm going to do whatever I can to go get Belichick. Let him bring in his people, whether it's Lombardi or whoever he trusts. Hey, maybe Dimitroff. We had Dimitroff in here. Maybe he wants to go back and be a GM. I'd consider that. Now, I'll tell you this. Thomas Dimitroff is a better general manager. Like, Joe Shane is a fraction, to steal words from the great Mad Dog Russo, a pimple on the fanny. Joe Shane is a pimple on the fanny of Thomas Dimitroff as a general manager. So the fact that you could just, like, they can do better. That to me would be, we talked about him with the Jets. He got interviewed.
We had him in studio.
So, and that's just one guy, and I know there's familiarity because he comes from the New England way. Point is, there are plenty of guys out there that Belichick can bring in to run the front office and be a collaborative effort and then have him be the head coach. I think that's probably the best option for the Giants.
This version of Bill Belichick terrifies me. That's the problem, man. I mean, it's pathetic. Now, I know that the college game's very different. You've got to have the roster. You've got to have the NIL. I get it. It's not quite the same. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but is he bringing her? I mean, because we can't have the circus here. We just can't have
well,
it.
Well, that's a different story. I don't want to get into his personal life. I know that's a huge thing here. She certainly can't be front and center.
His personal life, he makes it public.
I understand. Well,
if she's parading around on the he's allowing it. Yeah. So, you know, he's complicit here. I mean, she's parading around on the sidelines, the photographs, the pictures. Every interview he does, she's right next to him. So it's not like I have a camera in his house and I'm going into his personal life. I'm reacting to what he's showing the world, which at this point is nothing that I think would benefit the New York Giants if that dynamic is there.
Take her out of it, that dynamic.
Okay, which is a tough dynamic to remove because I'm not sure that he would, but I will for the moment. Would I still be? I would be open to it, not as much as you, because the one thing that I can't prove, and this is a very general thing, and it sounds disrespectful, it's not, because I love Bill Belichick, I revere him. Has the game passed him by? And I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did.
But I'd rather find out. Especially when you have the quarterback in place. This is not a total rebuild here.
I know.
And there are players in defense. Like, you're telling me you don't think Bill Belichick...
Oh, this defense would be so much better. I have no doubt about that.
Okay, and that means that their record would be better. And the one thing that he couldn't do in New England post-Tom Brady, because he did it pre-Tom Brady, he did select Brady. Like, he should get credit for that. Draft, develop, that's what they did. You know, Bledsoe obviously before that, but draft and develop Brady. It's not his fault that he selected the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, that's the penalty. Well, yeah, but he couldn't win without Brady. Well, he picked the guy. He picked him. I mean, it wasn't like Joe Montana fell into his lap. He went out there, picked him, drafted him, developed him, whatever, made the decision to go for him, even against, go to him, even against public thought with Bledsoe, whatever, a popular decision. Anyway, the one thing that he couldn't do in the end was find a quarterback to replace Brady, whether it was Garoppolo, they had to move on from him.
Brissett was there for a minute.
Cam Newton. Yeah, well, Brissett, and he was winning with some backups over the years for Brady. Cam Newton, obviously Mac Jones. Mac Jones had success elsewhere. So there were, that to me was the biggest issue, and that's not an issue with the Giants because they have Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
So you're eliminating, to me, the biggest question mark from Belichick. Give me, now we could do this over the course of, you know, the rest of the winter here, on the rest of the season, but give me the definitive better options that the Giants will have to hire as a head coach.
I think I would probably want Gruden more myself.
Really?
I do.
Why?
Think I would. I just,
he was god awful the last time he came back.
I know. I feel like Belichick is. I don't know how to say this properly. I feel like he's just withering out.
I don't know what that means.
Meaning that he's just aging out. I feel like what he's projecting right now is there's no energy. There's nothing that, you know, to me that, like, is the spark out forever? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You think he doesn't love it anymore?
I don't know if he quite needs it the way that he once did. I feel like football, and again, this is a very long distance assessment, clearly. I'm not trying to be unfair to the guy. But I thought forever football was his oxygen. I'm not so sure anymore. And if that's the case,
when you get a 24-year-old like that, maybe that's a little different oxygen.
Whatever oxygen you got left, you're going to get sucked out. Understood. I'm not mad at you for that. But I don't know. A couple of years ago, this would have been much more appealing. Again, I've been bringing his name up forever. So I'm not trying to trounce on his legacy or even the viability of him coming to the Giants now. I'm just not all in on it. I'm not.
You said you wanted to add something here?
I do. Because here's the thing about Belichick. Oh, geez, my headphones. Sorry. Here's the thing about Belichick. I think he would be a valuable piece to either the Jets or the Giants. I think asking him to coach is the wrong way to go about it. You have a mind like that, someone who built an organization for how many successful years, how many Super Bowls, weeks, seasons where Tom Brady wasn't good because he wasn't healthy, and they had to go other options, and they were still successful. You're telling me he just being in the building isn't good enough? I'm not telling you you have to offer him. He's going to get fired from that UNC job. They're going to have a buyout. He's not going to worry about the money, especially the Jets. And I know that
they said no. The Jets. They didn't want him.
No,
remember the Jets turned him down. Yeah. Foolish
eggs. That's ego. But right. That's why he's better for the Jets than the Giants.
No, I think it's for the Giants. Forget
regardless. Yeah. Either way, both teams could use him.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Hoff. So it's an interesting thought. Like the Jedi comes in and teaches the powers of the Force and elevates the whole building. I got you. But if he's not coaching, which is undeniably his best asset, are we overstating what he's bringing to the building? Because he's never been a good personnel guy. He's never identified drafts well. So if he's not coaching, what's he doing?
Correct. It's like Phil Jackson with the Knicks.
Bingo.
Yeah, that's
by the way, you see Carmelo just crushing
him. I did see
that. We're going to get to that later.
Bill Parcells was a great head coach until he wasn't a great head coach. But then what did he do after that?
He went to Miami as a consultant, did nothing.
And he chose Jake Long over Matt Ryan.
Well, I mean, listen, they all can't be gold.
I mean, well, no, I'm just saying, though, his greatest skill set is to be a head coach.
Correct.
So that's what I would bring him here to be. Now, I'd be open to Gruden as well. I'd also need to, you know, it's not going to happen, but in this hypothetical, like, I'd want to. See, it's hard for us to be put in the spot to where we got to give an opinion definitively on this. I would need to sit there and interview them. Like, if you sat in a room and interviewed Bill Belichick and then interviewed Gruden, now you could make a real decision on that. From afar, I'm going based off of the resume. I'm factoring in that both have failed more recently. Gruden, especially with the Raiders, where he was at, it did not end well for him.
So it's also like the Jets job in a lot of ways. I mean, think about, you know, Carroll's a Hall of Famer. Look what he's doing there now. That Raiders job's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
I know, but it's also year one. I'm going to give him a little bit of time. He brought in Geno Smith, one of his guys.
But I'm saying when Gruden was there, like, I think we can very easily go, the Jets have been bad for 15 years. Dude, Raiders are equally impotent. So,
I know, but you want to have,
meaning, are we unfairly evaluating Gruden's run in with the Vegas Raiders? They have nothing.
No, because he still should be a program builder. I don't care the situation. Now, the program builder, whether it's Parcells, whether it's Sean Payton, whether it is, you know, whoever it may be in this particular spot, you want to talk about Gruden, they should be able to identify a situation that they could go to that they are allowed to have success, meaning that there are certain owners and landscapes. Like, I don't think anybody worth the salt is going to take the Titans job because their ownership seems to be a disaster the way that that's going.
And you probably have the wrong quarterback,
and that's just
too.
One. And for the Jets for a long time, that's been the case there as well. Like, there's no chance you were going to get Mike Vrabel because he just wouldn't, just like you wouldn't get Belichick. He left because of Woody Johnson, and he was right about that. Bill Belichick's two greatest decisions in life might have been, in fact, identifying Woody Johnson as a bad owner and identifying Tom Brady as a great quarterback. Like, that's it. That made Bill Belichick what he is. But assuming that ownership, and I think that they would have that with the Giants, can put you in a position to succeed, then it would be appealing for Gruden to come in or Belichick to come in and be allowed to have the success. I don't know the situation with the Raiders at the time, mm-hmm. but I know that I expected it to be better than it was with Gruden.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of hype when he was brought back and he was still in Oakland at that point. I'm looking at it. So I don't know what the Raiders were. I'm just looking at John Gruden's coaching records. I don't know what the Raiders were the year before he was brought in. I know it wasn't
good. He had a good first year?
No. The first year he was 4-12.
Right.
Then they went to 7-9. Then they went to 8-8. Okay. So you're inching up. I mean, you know, I know you want to. And then 3-2 when he resigned in week 5.
Right. And then they won more with the dude that took over. I forget his name, right? Wasn't that the interim head coach that everybody started falling on?
I don't have that in front of me. But I know. Listen, you're not going to have a parade float when you go from 4-7-8 wins.
Versace,
and then 3-2.
Yeah, Rich Versace,
that's right. Yeah. But there was, I mean, there was evidence without a real quarterback, without. Yeah, no. Without a real roster, I mean, look at the Raiders now. All I'm saying is I think that Gruden, for me, John Gruden still has appeal, and so does Belichick. But the problem is because Gruden's legal situation, I think he'd probably be more flexible to coming in without full autonomy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Belichick is. And again, separating the coaching from the team building, which I've never really thought Belichick was particularly good at building a roster, and that's documentable. If he wants the whole reign, I'm not giving it to him. I don't think he's earned that, Bill Belichick, at this point. For the Giants or for anybody.
Right, but then maybe you don't end up with him. I think that they're in a spot where I would take the chance myself. I think it's worth the risk going out there saying, you know what, you need Belichick to try to turn this thing around. What's the worst that could happen? Okay, a couple years, it doesn't work out. You move on, hire somebody else. Now you're saying, well, you'd be wasting Jackson Dart. I think it would be worth the chance. And I also got to see what are the other options out there? Gruden? Can you get Tomlin? Is John Harbaugh going to be available? Are you going to go with Brian Flores or another coordinator? Like, let me see Lane Kiffin. Like, give me all the options, a list of all the possible options. And then from there, I would make my decision. But obviously, they got to interview these guys and, yep. and make their decision.
And the ultimate point is, you know, and all due respect, the earlier you start, the better jump you get on the other teams are going to be looking to do the same thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I did see some Mets news coming in, BT. You might get a kick out of this. Some of it makes me happy. Some of it infuriates me. You want the stuff that makes me happy first or infuriates me?
Let's see. Give it happy stuff first.
Okay, yeah. Happy stuff first. The Mets, according to Anthony DeComo, have declined the club option on Drew Smith. You know, you've seen me rant on Drew Smith multiple times. Oh, the Mets released it? Okay, so that's not just DeComo. Anyway, Mets declined the option on Drew Smith coming off of Tommy John surgery. Thank God. I'm tired of watching Drew Smith give up gopher balls. I'm tired about hearing about the potential of Drew Smith. He was awful. I look forward to watching him somewhere else give up taters left and right. Let's see. That was one good news. I'll give you another good news. Brooks Raley will be back. The team has picked up the club option for him for $4.75 million, so he'll be back in the bullpen. Some news. Mets acquired Joey Gerber in a trade with the Rays. Gerber has had 19 big league appearances. He's pitched just twice in the big league since 2020. So get used to the household
Joey Gerber.
Name. Joey Gerber. Go ahead, Hoff. You got something?
Yeah, I was going to use this for a bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, but now you're bringing it up. Bald-faced truth, he will be waived and then reclaimed at least 3 times this season.
Yeah. I mean,
one of those guys.
They like guys with options, and then here's the news that
infuriates me. Good optionality, Sal, yeah.
Here's the news that infuriates me.
Yeah.
Just because it's a reminder of the ineptitude of David Stearns this past offseason. Frankie Montas has exercised his $17 million player option. He's expected to miss the entire season with, you know, after Tommy John or elbow surgery or whatever. My thing is, how, like, that's not, don't you think that that's a problem with the sport, that a guy who's going to be out for the year can exercise his option to opt in? He can't even pitch. Like, that's, come on, dude. That's not right.
I mean, what's the way around it? I mean, that's what's collectively bargained. I mean, I hear you.
If you're hurt for the year, you lose your... Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're hurt for the year, you lose your right to opt in. Like, that's... come on, dude, that's cheap. He's going to opt in. He can't pitch for the team. Now, it was a stupid contract. We all said at the time, Stearns gets what he deserves in this regard. But that's like, come on, dude. Montas, A, you suck. You've always sucked. B, you sucked while you were here for the few games that you pitched with the Mets. C, you're not even useful. Like, sucking is one thing. Eating up some innings could be maybe useful or valuable, even though you're not worth anywhere near the $17 million. D, you can't pitch next year and you're going to opt in. Like, that is just insult to injury.
That was a weird signing. That was one from the jump. We're like, what? So it's 2 years? It's not only one?
Come on, man. That is brutal.
Frankie Montas, that was an odd one.
$17 million, dude, just lighting it on fire.
Yeah, I know we don't care about this as fans, but I'm pretty sure there's an element of insurance there. You know,
does,
like,
that help, though, with the luxury
tax? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. It does not.
Yeah, and I don't... memory serves correct. I don't remember it doing that, because if it did, it'd be great. It'd be like, oh, well, Stanton's hurt, and how much money are the Yankees going to save on this? Or whoever gets hurt. Or Cole for the whole year. Like,
yeah. So they'll get some of it back there, but I guess it won't... that second and third tax threshold will not be positively impacted there.
Dude, $17
million. It's like a lot of money. It's got to be big offseason. Listen, the Yankees need to do some stuff. There's no doubt. The Mets need to have a big offseason. Big.
Yeah, I know. And then
they got to change stuff up.
Everybody's talking about it with the Diaz and Alonso. It's a bigger conversation than just throwing away. We'll get back to the calls here. But when you think about $17 million, you can say, well, Steve Cohen, richest owner in the sport. Yeah, but nobody likes wasting $17 million. And that's where Stearns needs to up his game. This isn't Milwaukee anymore. Come on, bro. You're not Milwaukee anymore. So why spend $17 million when you could spend $30 million on somebody that's actually very good, as opposed to half-assing it, taking a flyer on a guy who we all told you sucked
It made no sense. I mean, the thought process for Stearns, which obviously did not work out well, and again, this is a bigger topic. We got a lot of football, a lot of baseball hot stove stuff, which we cannot wait to get into as we move toward Thanksgiving and beyond. But the Montas, like, who's the guy for $30 million, though? Like, we could sit here and say, why give Montas 2 years at 17 each? Go get the guy for 30. The problem is, the guy who's making 30 is going to have a 6-7-8 year contract attached to it, where Montas is, well, let's get him for one or two with the opt-in or the opt-out and the reclamation project, get him in the lab. It didn't work out, and they're burned. And if I'm going, I'm pissed at that one.
But they got what they deserved on that, right? Because they tried to go the cheaper route, saying, okay, well, Montas, and that's what these new analytical front offices do. They say, okay, well, why would I pay $30 million a year? Let's just say whatever it is, $35 million a year for Ranger Suarez over the course of 6-7 years, when the drop-off in performance from Suarez to where they thought they could elevate Montas
to
was going to be close enough to, like, I'd rather only commit 2 years, $34 million versus the $170 million it's going to cost.
Same with Max Fried, somebody like that,
exactly,
no doubt.
Right.
Can I just kill Stearns a little bit more for this?
Because
the moron that he is decided to go for Frankie Montas, who we all know was bad news.
We have to call him a moron.
He's a moron. He's a moron for this, because 2 years, $34 million for someone we all know sucked. Yet Jose Quintana, 1 year, $4.25 million, then an option for 15 million this year. Still less than a little bit more than what Frankie Montas is going to make this year.
Hoff, why don't you call the Mets and see if we can get David Stearns on?
No.
Let them know that you're the one.
I don't
want
to talk to him right now. He's in my timeout box.
Aggressive, Hoff.
Very upset.
Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. We're talking Giants yet again. Pete is calling from Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Petey.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, man?
You know, I agree with most of what you said about the Giants. You know, the relationship between the head coach and the GM is too symbiotic to keep one and fire the other. They both need to go. You know, NFL head coaches just don't get the latitude that Brian Daboll has gotten. It just doesn't happen. The record, he's not an executive. Head coaches have to be executives. He clearly doesn't have his finger on the pulse of the defense, evidenced by all the prevent defense related losses the Giants have had over the last number of years. He hasn't had his finger on the pulse of the backfield, right? The Giant corners have not improved. Maybe they've even regressed. He clearly doesn't have his finger on the pulse of the special teams, How many losses have the Giants had in the last 2 years? Because they don't have a kicker on the roster.
Yeah, but Pete, think about the one thing that he does have his pulse on, and this is what people are going to, you know, gravitate to and hang their hat on if they're pro Dable. Well, he's got his pulse on the quarterback. He looks pretty good. This is where we're at.
You know what? Listen, I have no doubt in my mind that Brian Dable will land an offensive coordinator job in the NFL. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's only 30 NFL head coaches. Well, there's only 30 offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, too. A previous caller mentioned Spags. I don't know why Spags would ever leave Kansas City. You know, do you think Steve Spagnuolo goes to bed looking at a ring on every finger and says, oh, man, I wish I had another chance to be a head coach? I seriously doubt that.
Well, Pete, I think you're underselling the desire for being in charge. Now, maybe he's past that point in his life and, you know, he doesn't want that massive burden of running the whole building. I don't know. But there's a lot of people who are coordinators, who were coaches, who were dying to get back to that top spot because they want to be the guy in charge. Simple.
I think Lane Kiffin would be the guy I would look at for the Giants. And if he shakes loose from Houston, which maybe he will, I would look at DeMeco Ryans as DC. I think he's coaching the best defense in the NFL, even though, again, their wins and losses, and he seemingly got concussed at the same time as his quarterback last week, the way they managed the last 2 minutes of that game against Denver. If DeMeco Ryans shakes loose, I'm bringing in Lane Kiffin as my head coach and DeMeco Ryans as my DC.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, and thank you for the call. That's a big if. I mean, well, that's part of the difficulty with this conversation, but hey, that's what we do. We're sports fans. You want to talk some sports and speculate and go over the ideas of maybe who you'd want. We have no idea who's going to be available. What if Mike Tomlin was available via trade? Would you want him? What if John Harbaugh was available? And maybe some people wouldn't want them. I personally would want those. I'm always a believer in this anyway, but I am, especially now with where the Giants are at. I would say the same thing for the Jets, too. I did say it last year. I want a guy who's done it before and who's done it well, if you could get that. At the very least, a guy who's done it before. And if you've done it before and have potential, that's good. If you've done it before and done it well, that's even better. And that's what I would look to bring in, especially when you talk about an organization that's been losing for the better part of a decade.
Well, don't we usually talk about where you have one thing and then when you make a move, you kind of go and get the other thing? Like if you have a disciplinarian like Tom Thibodeau, you go out there, you get somebody like Mike Brown, a little more free-flowing or vice versa. You got a loose coach and then you bring somebody in who's going to kind of, you know, tighten things up a little bit. Well, if you're going to do the opposite of what the Giants have been doing for a long time, it's got to be somebody who's established. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because everything that they've done recently has been, let's try, I know Shermer had a little experience, but let's try this.
Well, but that's,
you know,
the
this
thing.
New
like,
piece, this new piece. The guessing game must be mitigated.
Experience is great, but if it's just, well, he had a head coaching opportunity before, like Pat Shermer's experience.
Yeah.
Wasn't really great, and there was nothing about that. And I understand they wanted to say he's an offensive mind, and maybe they could have stuck with him, but he was an issue because he didn't handle New York well. There are many layers to having what it takes to be a successful head coach here. It's not just being a good play caller or being in total command of a team or being in control. Like, I think there are things that Dable does well here. Also, you got to handle New York, and you got to be able to handle adversity and deal with the media. Like, there's a lot of... I'm not sure Spagnuolo fits that bill, where I can look at Belichick and Gruden and say, I feel much more comfortable. Those guys will be able to handle many of the aspects that it would take to succeed here in New York.
Yeah, again, I'm looking to train. I'm going to actually do this. I've said this now for a few days. I want to really look at, Tomlin jumps out, of course, but I'm going to look at all these coaches. If I'm going to keep saying maybe they should need to get bold and try to trade for somebody, I'm going to have to give you a name here. But I do like Gruden. I'm open to Belichick here. It's definitely time to... you know, to mix this up. And that's where we're at. I mean, the story today about maybe one stays and one goes to me is absolutely perplexing. I just don't see it. But, you know, I mean, you know, a little win streak away that could change. And that to me is not ideal, because it kind of masks over a lot of deficiencies where a couple of wins should not change that. But that's me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. All right, a little Bold Face Truth, Bold Face Lie. Before we get to Hopier, I did see a trade, BT. A wide receiver is on the move.
Olave.
No, it is Jacoby Myers.
Oh, Raiders, okay.
Yeah, the Raiders send Jacoby Myers to the Jaguars for a fourth round and a sixth round pick. Just to give you an idea, Myers clearly not Olave or Waddle, but
That's fourth, one of the names.
A fourth and a sixth. I mean, I would assume that the other two would be a lot more than that. Myers is good, but I mean,
The other guys will get more, and I'd have to look at. I don't know what Myers' contract is if there's not a whole lot left on it, which I don't think that there is. Obviously, you're not going to give up much for Rento, whereas Waddle's got more, et cetera, which would impact the terms. Yeah, listen, I hope we get some action today.
Yeah.
And we can do this a little later, but I like to see the Jets do a couple of things, and obviously the Giants, there's some things that they'll be called upon as well.
Let's go right there.
Let's go. It's my turn.
This is my bald face. I was actually going to lead in with that, but thanks for taking it. Bald face lie, bald face truth. We'll start with BT.
Okay.
Jets and Giants will make a total of zero trades by today's deadline.
Oh, I think that's got to be a bald face lie. I'd be grossly disappointed. Now, of what magnitude? Yeah, Dexter Lawrence isn't going to get dealt. I think I'd even be surprised.
Are they making moves? Yes or no?
Yeah, I just said okay. I said ball face.
Well, then you started saying what type of moves. I don't care about what moves.
Well, I gave you the answer. All but right. I'm also, I don't think they're going to be earth-shattering moves. Let me put it this way. Yes, I do believe there will be moves made. I think Breece Hall is the most interesting one. I think of the bigger variety that would move the needle, I think the Jets are more inclined to do that than the Giants. But yes, to answer Hoff, as I already did, and do it again, there will be some trades.
I'm going to say bald-faced lie. I don't think either team does
zip.
Anything. Yeah, zip, nothing.
Oh, the bald-faced truth, then.
Bald-faced truth, yeah, I'm sorry.
You agree with the statement?
You were going on too long, Hoff. I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, I paused.
So, bald-faced truth, I don't think the Jets and Giants are going to make any moves here. What are the Jets going to accomplish here at this trade deadline? Like, they're not going to move Breece Hall. It seems like they don't want to move Breece Hall. They're not going to get enough back to warrant that to me. So, I don't think the Jets are going to make any moves here. And I don't really think they should be. I think the Jets should stand pat here and just go about their business, trying to build this thing the right way, look ahead to the draft, try to get some, you know, competent football, maybe get some more wins. And with the Giants, I think what the Giants want to move is worthless. Oh, they're looking to trade Evan Neal. Evan Neal's, I mean, I'm going to be nice. I don't want to pick on the kid, but he's worthless. Jalen Hyatt, same thing. I mean, that's my way.
Let's go to Mel Kiper, Evan Neal's film. What's your assessment here, Mel?
Come on. Disaster. Thanks. And even more so than the actual moves, like somebody over there has to acknowledge that you can't let a lame duck general manager making any moves here at the trade. Like that would be, I would assume somebody over there has that similar thought. Now, again, I'm assuming. So who knows? But I wish that somebody would be as smart as that to think, you know what? Maybe now's not the time to be making any moves. Let's just ride this thing out and see what happens in the offseason.
All right, so that's the Giants side. We kind of hit that a little bit here. So, listen, the thing that you got to look at for me, too, and I do think there'll be a trade we'll see eventually in a couple hours here, but like the Jets, I think it's smart to just get as much draft capital as they can because, you know, there's no guarantee that they've got the worst record in the NFL. I mean, we're sitting here saying, well, the Jets going to get first pick and pick whatever quarterback they want, Mendoza Moore, whatever. Well, they could beat the Browns this week, and they could have suddenly two wins and then maybe beat the Dolphins and finish with three and have the third overall pick, and they really want somebody at one or a two, but they can't get there unless they make a big trade. So it's not that you just disband the roster. They've got a few good young pieces like Mason Taylor and obviously Garrett Wilson and Gardner, you know, whatever. The good old lineman, which we like here. But I think that it's smart to just really line the pockets with potential that would help you to make a trade to get the quarterback that eventually you do want.
We'll All right, Hoff, what do you got? Number two.
All right, who am I up to? Sal.
Yeah.
Ball-faced truth. Bullface lie. Pete Alonso will get at least one MVP vote for this 2025 season.
Bullface lie. Come on, dude. Pete had a good year. He can't be. Now, I don't know how the voting works exactly. I know I saw the finalists, Otani, Schwarber, and Soto in there for the finalists for MVP. I don't think Alonso's getting a vote. I don't think he deserves a vote for MVP. Although I will say that you can make an argument he was the most valuable player on the Mets over Soto, even though Soto's numbers are gaudy to the point where he is a finalist. I think when you win 83 games, there's nothing valuable about anybody. I could get rid of all those guys and still find a way to win 83 games next year. So I'm going to say bald face lie. Pete does not get a vote.
I'm going to play the technical route here because I have the same question that you did. If I was going first here, I probably would say the same thing, but I went second. So, you know, I mean, these guys, I'm looking at the votes from last year, Sal. You had, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I mean, you had in each league, you had basically 20 guys getting votes. I mean, Tovar and the Rockies got a vote last year. So I'll take, yeah, I know. Like a 10th place vote,
so
whatever
probably
it was.
Get a vote, right?
So I'll again, that's the easy way. You know, I think maybe a little bit more of an interesting conversation. Should he get more than Soto? He won't. You could probably have that on some level, but he'll get a vote. That's the easy way out. Bullface truth, but he should be nowhere near the award, as we know.
Very nice. Yeah. All right, and finally, this is, I think, the question of the day.
Okay.
Okay. Bullface lie, bullface truth, BT. Aaron Boone has the safest seat of all head coaches, managers in New York sports. Mm.
Okay, let's go through this here. All the managers, I think he's safer than Mendy at this point.
I think this is a fun question. You're right, Hoff. Great question.
Mendy gets off to a rough start. He could be gone. We talk about the Giants every single day. That's a problem. Aaron Glenn, I think he's fine, but you keep doing battle and if you don't win anymore. The Rangers situation. Okay. I would say that's a bold-faced truth. I mean, even Mike Brown with the expectations, you better at least get to the finals. Yeah, I think that's fair. Bold-faced truth.
I'm going to say it's a bold-faced lie. I think Sullivan. I think you touched on it with the Rangers. Matt, who knows with the Devils, Islanders. You want to throw those guys in there as well? I'm not so sure, but Sullivan.
Jordy Martinez with the Nets.
Come on. The Nets. What are they, 0-7 now?
I saw Evan. I think it was Evan tweeted something about Jordy. I was like, who the hell is Jordy?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy.
The great
John.
Jordy.
And that's good. Sullivan just got here. I did see Evan tweet something interesting about the Nets, saying that he wants Ja Morant, basically. Ja's an unhappy.
I got suspended. I saw that. I got suspended by the game.
I mean, he's got major issues. He's the guy I wanted over Zion years ago. I wanted the Knicks to get him. They end up with R.J. Barrett. They'll get Ja or Zion, end up with R.J. Barrett. And by the way, that might have been the most solid choice when you think about it. Ja with all his issues.
Yeah,
Zion
legal
with his
issues. Yeah, Zion's in good shape this year. Yeah. Ja, I saw RJ. I still checked the box score, see what Barrett and Quickly are doing. Barrett's averaging like 20-something points a game. He's playing pretty well.
I think Sullivan's got to be the safest. He just got here. Drury loves him. He's got great history and pedigree. But because of the newness, I would say him. Dable, no. Glenn, no. Brown, no. Mendy, certainly not. Mendy might be on the hottest seat of all. Well, outside of Dable. Dable, obviously, he's not going to be the coach any longer, you wouldn't think. I think Boone's relatively safe.
So do I.
But I don't know if I would say he's safer than Sullivan or maybe any of the hockey coaches.
You're a big hockey guy. Any opinion on that, Huff?
If Sullivan continued to lose the way they were doing, I think he would be out by the...
Get the hell out of here. They're not going to fire Sullivan.
Bro, hockey coaches, we know every 2 years.
They just put him in.
Yeah, but like he's already been here for like a quarter of his career, technically.
I have one bonus question today. Bold-faced truth.
No.
Bold-faced
truth.
It's my
time.
Bold-faced lie. Can anybody on this show name the current New Jersey Devils head coach?
No. Oh, yeah. O'Keefe?
Sheldon
Keefe.
I can name the play-by-play guy. Can't name the head coach. Patrick Waugh for the Islanders, I know that.
Yeah, Patty Waugh, sure.
I would not be able to name the...
Nailed it!
Who is it?
Sheldon Keefe.
Okay,
woo!
Good job. Sheldon
no
Keefe.
Idea.
I would have bet the under, probably.
He got hired.
I stumbled his way there, but he got it.
He got hired May 23rd of 2024. So
he's doing a good job, too.
I'm going to go check out the Devils at the end of the month, I think.
They're good.
But anyway, yeah, there you have it. All right, bold-faced truth, bold-faced lie.
All right, now to the Islanders.
No, we did. Waugh, Patrick Waugh.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Come on, dude.
You know that.
What
come
are you headphones?
I forgot I know that.
We said that three times.
I still have a cold.
BT, you're right. We should just be thankful that you showed up to work. BT and Sal.
No BT
there.
No cage work with Mendy? No soft toss?
888-808-1019. We'll take a break. We got to get to the Knicks next hour. We also have Brian Baldinger coming up. Let's do the Knicks at 1220. We'll reset with the Giants, do Giants at 12. We'll do the Knicks at 1220. Brian Baldinger, he'll give his insight coming up at 1240. Jam-packed show, maybe do a little free agency 1 o'clock or a combination of a bunch of different things. But still plenty of time to work with here. We'll take a quick break. Back to reset on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.